Welcome to Head Games Radio on Sirius Satellite. Well, Brown beats the Broncos. The Browns beat the Chiefs. And as usual, the merry-go-round continues around the NFL. As you look at the way San Diego has proven to find ways to come back and win, the way Cincinnati is relearning how to tackle, the way the Chiefs seem to unlearn how to tackle on the road. We're going to go into all of that with Len Dawson in our second segment. In our first segment, we're going to go into baseball hot stove with Jim Beattie, former two-time general manager with the Expos and with the Orioles. We're going to talk about the problems that Barry Bonds is having finding people that love him this offseason and the free agency market as well. And then we'll be joined by the man of the moment. Not that I'm biased or anything, but to have the kickers do as well as they did, four game-winning field goals, whether it's Gramatica, whether it's Josh Brown, whether it's Dawson in Cleveland, who should not have been there in the first place because the Chiefs gave it away, or whether it's Rob Baronis, who's going to join us from Tennessee, a man who's kicked a 49-yard field goal to beat the Giants last week, a 60-yarder last night. And Vince Young, of course, has shown that it's not always a bad thing to have younger quarterbacks in, but it is problematic. Before we go to that, though, we have an interesting comment from Tom Jackson from Friday's show from ESPN about how some coaches know how to make sure their team is not distracted by the media as the pressure gets stronger.
Well, you know, I think that Bill Parcells gives his team a little more free rein than he used to. I think that actually Coach Belichick is probably the guy who has found the easiest method of dealing with the media, which is basically he's the guy who is the voice of the organization, and you don't hear a lot of voices other than that voice. So at least the message that he sends is clear, and it is singular.
That's Tom Jackson. We'll have a couple more comments from him. We'll be joined by Jim Beattie on Major League Baseball. Then we'll have Len Dawson and our good friend Sam Huff. It's all on Head Games on Sports Byline Network and Sirius Channel 122.
The holiday season is approaching, and Tickets Now knows exactly what to give the special person in your life. Event tickets. Tickets Now has over 2 million tickets to the hottest sports, concert, and theater events in North America, and each one of them make excellent holiday gifts. Not sure what tickets to give? Give them a Tickets Now gift card, redeemable for any purchase at TicketsNow.com. Tickets Now gift cards make the perfect stocking stuffer. Remember, Tickets Now guarantees every transaction with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Find out for yourself today at TicketsNow.com. That's TicketsNow.com.
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 Hi, everybody. This is Nick Lowry, and I want to tell you about the most beautiful golf course I've ever played. It's called Quintero. It's already ranked in the top 10 in the country as a real estate golf course. I'm telling you, it is the most outstanding combination of beautiful fairways and views you will ever see. If you want to join one of the most outstanding new private courses in the country, go to QuinteroGolf.com or call 888-417-8468. That's 888-41-QUINT or 888-417-8468.
Petroni Vineyards produces the world's finest gold medal estate wines, prized by wine connoisseurs and enthusiasts. Experience Petroni Vineyards Paggio alla Pietra with its rich, seductive flavors. And Petroni Vineyards Tuscan-style extra virgin olive oil is prized by gourmets to create sumptuous recipes. To enjoy these culinary delights, visit PetroniVineyards.com and become a wine club member today. PetroniVineyards.com.
George Rosen III from the renowned Hallmark Institute of Photography.
If you are like many of our incoming students, you're wondering if now's the time to make an important change in your life. If you're serious about a career in which you can earn a living and be happy, and photography is your passion, our 10-month intensive program is your ticket to change. Don't wait any longer. Visit us at hallmark.edu. I'm George Rosa III, president of Hallmark Institute of Photography, where our mission is your success.
Hallmark Institute of Photography, 413-863-2478.
This is Nick Lowry, and I'm here to tell you about HeadGamesRadio.com, the official website of Head Games Radio. If you can't listen to the show every day, just go to HeadGamesRadio.com and join the Head Games team. You get to listen to Head Games highlights from our superstar guests. As a member, you'll be entitled to exclusive offers and information, so register with us so we can send you updates and special giveaways that non-members just can't get. Stay tuned. Check out HeadGamesRadio.com. Email us and join the Head Games family.
Yes, I was fired. It happens to most coaches. Well, what are you going to do? Are you going to just lie there in the fetal position and whimper?
Welcome back to Head Games Radio, a little Major League Baseball hot stove, because we're not just the NFL here, and we're going to have a great lineup the rest of the week on golf with Peter Costas on Wednesday and much more. But right now, it's baseball time with Jim Beattie. And Jim, I thought I'd start off by a quote about Carlos Lee and one of the major acquisitions before we talk about Barry Bonds.
Carlos Lee was, I think, probably the best bat other than Soriano in the free agency, and Carlos Lee had a Texas tie. But I think one of the reasons they wanted to tie him up early is they had one of the bottom-performing offenses last year, and in order to convince Roger Clemens and Andy Pettit that maybe they should think about coming back and pitching another year, they went out and got one of the best bats to help their offense. The other things they've got to do to build up that lineup, they're trying to get done quickly, and I think that's all part and parcel of trying to convince Clemens and Pettit to come on back. You're going to have a better club behind you.
Well, that was last week, and things really haven't seemed to progress a great deal. Besides Carlos Lee, as you gain another week's perspective, Jim, what do you think are the best acquisitions so far this year?
Well, it's when they have gone out and tried to spend some money, I think the clubs that have been most aggressive, I think that have been out there saying, we know the money's going to be higher, we know we have to do something. I would say Lee and Soriano probably are too. And from what I understand, although I have not seen him throw, Matsuzaka from Japan may be the best starting pitcher out there, but certainly untested in the major league market, still to be signed. And I think the Red Sox, in their negotiations, from what I understand, are a little concerned that Boris is trying to make it a three-year contract or maybe a four-year contract. And from the Red Sox point of view, to spend $51 million, they'd like to at least have the option of keeping the guy in a contract for 6 years. But I think the big hitters out there have been probably the better contracts, and from teams that needed to do something. The Cubs needed to go out there and do something in the market, get a bat like Soriano. They went out and got the manager and Lou Piniella, and one, you got to satisfy your fans. But from the Cubs' point of view now, they've got a new manager they have to satisfy as well.
Do you think also that the signing of Soriano marks a new era in free agency where they really do respect players even when they get into their mid-30s more than they did before?
Well, they do these days. I think with the training that everybody does year-round and the athleticism, I mean, especially with some starting pitchers, if we've seen the elderly starting pitchers still out there. Messina just signed again with the Yankees. You still got Randy Johnson, who's pitching, and Clemens, certainly. Clemens is still out there. Guys are saying that they can play into the mid-30s is not such a big deal. I would say probably the only position that you have some concern about still playing behind the dish at the age of 35, and as a catcher, that is pretty tough on your knees.
What about Tom Glavine? Do you think that Atlanta was a little bit too slow, wasn't aggressive enough, and if they had been, would they have had a shot?
Well, I think Atlanta, from the way they're approaching things in the offseason, I think they're not going to be big buyers in the free agent market. I mean, their finances have changed in the last few years. They've been bought. They've got a different approach in the way they're trying to put together their team. They're trying to keep their young players, develop their young players, and hopefully they end up with another trio like they had when they had Glavine, Maddox, and Smoltz, and they've got to try to find those guys. But they are not really the big spenders. The one problem with them, you know, Tim Hudson came over there and has not performed the way he was in Oakland. He's been just so-so in Atlanta and has still had some of his injuries. he may actually be a guy that Atlanta says, you know, we're not quite where we need to be right now. We want to get there, and maybe we have to take a step back, and maybe they look to trade a starting pitcher like Hudson, who certainly would be in big demand. Many of the contracts from the free agents and players of the last couple of years are looking awfully good in this free agent market. When you've got a guy like Tejada for 3 years and $38 million he's owed, you know, he goes out and he's potential to be traded if the Orioles decide to go that way. That contract looks awfully good on the open market right now.
But it seems like Atlanta, they may have different ownership, but with John Schuerholz, who was on the show a couple months ago, his bread and butter has always been the starting pitching, and it surprises me that they haven't been more aggressive that way.
Well, that's true. I know John has publicly said that that's the way they've won in the past, and that's what they want to get back to do that. But, you know, when you're trying to compete in the free agent market, and if there's not really a big big guy, I would say the big guy in the free agent market would be Zito. For me, Glavin is older, certainly, and it seemed like he had some thoughts about going back, but at the same time, the Mets didn't really blow the bank in re-signing Glavin. I believe it was just a one-year deal with maybe a potential for an option year. But
a paltry $10.5 million.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a huge contract for Glavin, so certainly there's one or two things. Either they said, we don't like where Tommy Glavin is right now, how he's pitching, how effective he is, or we just can't afford him. And if they can't afford him, they're certainly not going to find a better deal in the market.
And likewise, it also shows that there's a lot of confidence the players with the Mets have in the direction that that organization is going. Now, let's switch to Barry Bonds. I mean, it seems to me that the signings of a Carlos Lee and an Alfonso Soriano has really strengthened his position. But the only team, really, that I think is going to bid for him is, again, the Giants. What do you think is going to happen there?
Well, I agree with you. I think that the Giants have been trying their best to see if there's another big bat in the market that they can get and maybe give themselves an excuse not to bring Barry back. Or if they bring him back, as big a pressure, at least team-wise, to bring him back. I'd have to say that the only fans in baseball that really cheer for Barry Bonds in any case would be the San Francisco fans. I mean, I think given everything that they've gone through, they've seen Barry at his greatest. They still have a love in their heart for him somewhere, and I think that if he's going to go out there and play this year and break Aaron's record, that I think the San Francisco fans would appreciate it, at least some sort of a payback for the trouble that they've gone through in staying with him over all these years. And I think that in the end, the Giants will find themselves in a position that they did not offer him arbitration, so that's at least showing their hand a little bit that if they do re-sign him, they want him to take a pay cut. And I'd have to think that he would have to take a pay cut regardless of all the other stuff. And I think there's a lot of other general managers and teams out there that aren't really going to put up a fuss and say, no, we want him instead. I don't know if there's a huge market. His agent Jeff Boris says, we're talking to clubs, but I think that's more posturing than anything else. I think there's not a lot of talk out there other than maybe kicking tires on Barry, but when teams really sit down and think about the entire package that you're going to have to go through and answering questions, especially the general manager and the manager, why did you bring a guy like that into this team? And everything else that goes with that before you even get to spring training. Then when you actually get the guy in the field, it's a whole new situation. I think the Giants have dealt with it, and they're probably best put together and ready to deal with it again.
That's when it comes down to the ego thing of whether Barry is capable of actually understanding and acknowledging that it is time to take a salary cut. And, you know, Len Dawson, who covers sports at ABC Television in Kansas City and has done so for many, many years as their sports director. Len, we never talked to you about other sports, but in your situation, if you're a general manager with San Francisco, do you insist on a pay cut, and would you actually be aggressive in retaining Barry Bonds?
Which one do you want first? I would say the pay cut is reasonable at this stage of his career. I'm assuming, and I don't know. Do you know how much he's making?
He's up there at about 18, I believe.
$18 million a year? I think he can afford to pay cut if he wants to, you know, to play it, if he wants to break the record. But that would be something that he should seriously consider. Now, other teams wanting him? I don't know why. I really don't. I mean, you know, the baggage that he is bringing, you know, do you need that? Like a team like Kansas City who needs somebody who can hit the long ball. I mean, they're rebuilding. You know, Simon George
might
can't
afford it.
George might do it because Steinbrenner, because, you know, he's dealt with problem children before. But, you know, there's a lot of baggage that comes along with Barry Bonds.
There sure is. Well, listen, we'll be right back talking NFL with Len Dawson and Jim Beattie. Thanks again, sir, for your Major League Baseball report. Appreciate it.
You bet, Nick. Have a great day.
Thanks, Jim. Great job. We'll be right back on Head Games on Sports Byline Network and Sirius Channel 122.
Are you losing your hair? Is that bald spot getting bigger? Is your hair looking thinner? Why aren't you using Avacor, the hair growth treatment that's helped thousands of people just like you regrow their hair?
It's been 3 months now. I've been on Avacor, and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old.
We're giving away a free month of Avacor with all of today's orders. Avacor is proven to successfully stop hair loss and regrow hair. Call 800-450-9743 for your risk-free trial of Avacor. Call now, 800-450-9743. All of today's orders will receive an additional month's supply of Avacor absolutely free.
Avacor really works. I just love it. It's like a miracle. I couldn't be happier.
Satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. That's 800-450-9743. 800-450-9743.
Golf Digest is going to cure your slice now, and that's a guarantee. Introducing the breakthrough video, Cure Your Slice Now, and it's free with your paid subscription to Golf Digest magazine. In this video, top PGA instructor Chuck Cook shows you the seven key phases of the swing and gives you his proven method for better control and longer, straighter drives. And here's our guarantee. If Golf Digest and Cure Your Slice Now doesn't cure your slice and improve your game, cancel the subscription and keep the video free. Every month in Golf Digest, you get easy-to-follow instruction from the best teachers and players in golf, information on the top equipment, the best places to play, and you also get the removable Pocket Tips booklet. Call now. Use your credit card and get your first risk-free issue, the Pocket Tips booklet, and the video free. You get 11 more issues for only $19.77. If your game doesn't improve, cancel your subscription and keep the video, booklet, and magazine free.
Call 800-828-2639. That's 800-828-2639 for Golf Digest.
Do you want to own a brand new computer and improve your credit score at the same time? If you have less than perfect credit but can afford a weekly payment of $29.99 for just 12 months, then you're already approved for a brand new Dell, HP, or other name brand computer. Guaranteed.
Bad credit? No problem. There's no credit check, so you won't be turned down. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a weekly payment of $29.99 for just 12 months, you're approved for your brand new name brand computer. Call 800-787-2816. Guaranteed Consumer Funding says you're approved. Give us a call today at 800-787-2816 to have your brand new computer shipped right to you. Act now. We'll add over $700 in premium upgrades and an MP3 player for free. And with select models, we'll throw in a free printer. So get the computer of your dreams today and improve your credit at the same time. Call 800-787-2816. That's 800-787-2816.
There's 95 guys or 97 doing the right thing the right way and two or three jerks. So two or three jerks get 97% of the attention.
Join Head Games Radio. Call 800-878-PLAY. That's 800-878-7529. And now, here's your host, Nick Lowry.
Welcome back to Head Games with our own Monday morning quarterback, Leonard Dawson. Not a fun trip back from Cleveland yesterday, eh?
No, I saw a lot of long faces, particularly up in the first class section of the airplane. Of course, I sit in the back. Near the John back there, so
I wouldn't say of course a man of your stature.
Right. Anyway, I'm in the back, and I just didn't want to see the long faces anyway because there's some concern because they blew it. They blew the game. They had a 14-point lead with a little over 12 minutes to go. Looked like they had complete control of the contest, and all of a sudden the defense collapsed, just not able to stop them. About in the last 12 minutes of the game, the total yardage-wise, they almost did as much in the last 12 minutes and then in overtime, about 18 minutes total, than they did prior to that in the whole game. And, that's something that to say about the defense, that they just did not get the job done.
And you notice that when Wilkerson was injured, Ryan Sims, who's been a big disappointment, comes in, and all I could see was huge holes as he kept being pushed to his right. Is he done after this year?
After this year?
After this year.
How about after yesterday? I don't know. I know that there was an article in the paper, he was complaining about the fact that he wasn't starting and getting much playing time. When somebody starts complaining about that, when you're in the heat of a playoff race with five games to go, you're not thinking about a team. You're thinking about yourself, and that does not help the football team. He got in there because Jimmy Wilkerson got hurt. It's not that Ryan Sims hasn't been playing. He's been in and out in most of the games, but hasn't been the starter and has not performed very well. And yesterday, didn't do much of anything because the quarterback, here's a team, Nick, that had been sacked, 19 times in the last four games. They've been sacked, quarterback's been sacked 43 times this year, which is a bunch. I think they're 31st in offense, and nobody got close to the quarterback until the end when a linebacker blitzed from the outside and was able to get a sack. But prior to that, they had all the time in the world back there. And that goes with the starting quarterback. Fry got hurt, and he's out of there. So they bring in Anderson, who hadn't taken a snap in the National Football League, and he's enjoying a great afternoon. I mean, he's back there looking around like, hey, this is like out in the sandlot. Got plenty of time to throw the football.
Got plenty of time. Let me ask you that. There's some, as well as the offensive play, Gunther Cunningham, you would think, against a man who's never taken a snap in an NFL game, you're going to blitz him. There were almost no blitzes that fourth quarter.
Yes, I know. That's a big question, why? My only response would be that there must be some fear that the secondary could not guard the receivers. The receivers had a lot of separation, between themselves and the defensive backs in that ball game, and with a lot of time to throw. Now, I think the afterthought, they probably should. Personally, what I would have done would have had all-out blitz right from the get-go against this young guy, and to try to confuse him. They did that against Rivers when San Diego came here. They did that against Cincinnati in the first game, at least initially, and they had some success doing that. But for some reason, they decided not to do that in the ball game yesterday. A lot of people are asking the same question you're asking, and I don't have the answer. Gunther Cunningham, who calls the defensive signals, will be the one that could have the answer.
Well, Trent Green is certainly one of the six or seven best quarterbacks in the NFL, but until he finds a way to not make some of those bonehead mistakes, not protecting the ball in the fourth quarter late. He's in the middle of traffic. He's not got two hands on the ball, just like Damon Heward against Seattle about a month ago. He allows himself to be hit. The ball is fumbled. I'm sorry. I don't understand why they have such a romance with Trent Green when he makes mistakes like that.
Well, I know that, I do the radio broadcast, as the Chiefs, and the first thing I said when they got the ball back and that the game is tied, I said the one thing you cannot do, period, is give up the football. You got to protect the football, and here they go, bang. He gives up the football. They were fortunate that the quarterback for Cleveland made a mistake and tried to force a ball to a receiver, and Kavika Mitchell, the middle linebacker, intercepted it so that they didn't win the game in regulation. But Trent also had another play where he was throwing a deep fly pattern to Chris Wilson, and he put it on the line, and the coverage was very good. Instead of, getting some air under that thing so it eventually could probably be a jump ball, and so that the receiver, if he didn't catch it, he could make sure that the defender didn't intercept the thing. But he threw it on the line, and that was early on in the ball game, and that hurt too because it took away a chance to maybe put him away early.
Finally, at the end of regulation, Len, it looked very clearly, certainly it wasn't much more than a second, but it was probably 0.8 of a second, Tony Gonzalez gets out of bounds. I don't understand why it's not possible, using the technology they have, to question that call.
You're right, but as that goes up in the booth in the last 2 minutes of the game. You can't challenge it. It goes upstairs to the people up there, and they took a look at it, and they felt that the time had expired. I go back to the pass itself. If the pass is really in rhythm with Gonzalez, he doesn't have to crawl to get out of bounds. He makes that catch and gets out of bounds, and they're going to have a second or two to kick, or at least attempt the field goal. The field goal would have been 58 yards, which is, as you know better than anybody, on a cold day like it was yesterday, the ball doesn't travel as far, but there was one thing. The wind would have been to the back of the kicker rather than in his face, so there's a chance he could have made it, but, you know, that's you don't know that. But the thing is, there was more mistakes there, and there's a lot of question as to when Cleveland was driving down there to get the tying score, that Kansas City had three timeouts left. And they hadn't stopped them, you know, before. So what's to think that they're going to stop them down on the
goal? Why didn't they call a timeout so they'd give themselves some time, exactly?
Yes, absolutely. You know, and if they don't make it, that's fine. You've got time to run the ball, run out the clock, too, you know, with a guy like Larry Johnson in the backfield. But those are all clock management things that people are asking questions, and I think they're good questions.
And I think it's looking bad for the Chiefs right now, although anything's possible. But, you know, speaking of anything being possible, and speaking of the wind being at your back as a kicker, I certainly understood what a difference that made. But there has been probably a better chance for kickers to hit long field goals this year than I've ever seen. And a man who is the man of the moment in many ways, who deserves to get some big-time credit, is Rob Baronis. Rob, thanks for joining us today from Tennessee.
Hey, glad to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Did you get any sleep last night?
Yeah, I kept the phone turned off and had some family and friends in town, hung out with them until they headed home.
Rob, awesome job the last 2 weeks. You know, a 49-yarder against the Giants would have been enough. Tell us what went through your mind and what you found out about the coach that made him change his mind and go for that field goal yesterday at the end of regulation.
You know, I was on the sideline getting ready to kick. I knew we were going to have the opportunity to get in that situation. Craig was just telling me to be ready. And, you know, when the time came down, I went out on the field. They called a field goal unit out, so we were kicking it. And once I was out there, I knew I had it. And when we took time out and we decided to punt, you know, I wanted to put the points on the board. But at the same time, we were playing for a field position if there was a miss. And they had Peyton Manning, the quarterback, and one timeout with plenty of time on the clock to make something happen. Coach knew what he was doing all along. He used up their timeout and put us back out there to take a shot at it.
So do you think in some ways that Tony Dungy made a tactical error?
I don't know. I get paid to put the ball through the uprights.
Yeah, we heard you, Len and I, I'm sure, heard you on ESPN today talking about if you start thinking like those reporters, you'd be in trouble. So what was going through your mind? Do you feel that you had more confidence having hit the ball well last week?
I mean, I've had confidence all along in the coaching staff here and the organizations and players have all had confidence in me. You go out there and you approach that just like any other kick, and you don't want to do anything different. You're going to end up pulling it or getting under it or hitting the line or what. You know, you want to kick it the same as you're going to kick, maybe put a little more leg into it and give it a little bit more of a ride. But if you start thinking about stuff, then that's your enemy. So it's like
Leonard Dawson, did you see that kick?
Yeah, I saw it on tape, yes. Now, here you two kickers are yakking about kicking, right? I held, as you know, Nick, for 19 years for two guys in the Hall of Fame, Lou Groza with Cleveland and Jan Stenerud with the Chiefs in Green Bay and Minnesota. And you try to tell me that you guys aren't thinking about all those things? You wake up in the morning of game day, you're thinking, look out the window the first thing to see what the weather is like. You know, and hopefully, you know, you'd like to play indoors all the time, so you don't have to worry about all those things.
Oh, you're right. I don't know if the whole the 60-yarder and the game winner. I don't know if all that's hit me yet. I mean, but you gotta go out. It's you definitely know it that it's a lot of times I don't know the distance till after I kick it. I try not to pay attention to all that. I try to go out there and hit the same ball every time. But same time, you know the situation. But you gotta put that out of your mind. Go out there and approach it like any other kick. Otherwise, you'll be looking for another job here soon if you start thinking about everything going on.
Rob, let's talk about Mr. Vanderjack and the guy who's demonstrated himself being one of the best kickers in the history of the game. What do you think's happened with him? I mean, how could he have lost that much confidence? A guy that, if I were the Washington Redskins and I'm thinking Vanderjack versus Novak, I'm going with Vanderjack every time.
You know, I don't know what's going on with Vanderjack right now. He obviously had some misses this year. He's still, you know, most consistent kicker in the NFL. Career-wise, and he's going through a rough time, and I'm sure he'll come out of it and be doing well when he gets back on track. But as far as what's going on, I don't know. That'd be a good question for Mike, but I don't know if he could answer that you know, he just has to get through this time and get, you know, he'll land somewhere else and probably be back right on top.
It'll be the right kind of situation, and then he'll turn it around. But in the last minute we've got here, we want to thank you for joining us, Rob Baronis. But tell us about your team, a team that is 5-2, and just like the rest of this NFL season, it's one more team that has looked horrible at times, and now in the last month with Norm Chow and the new offense and Vince Young, you seem to have really found yourselves.
You know, we've really come together, and Vince is playing. I think he's getting off the leash a little, playing his ball, doing what he does best, and that's win games and lead us to the win. Defense is stepping up and making plays and stopping the opponents when needed, and special teams is out there making plays. We got a great coaching staff and a great bunch of guys here, and we're up and coming, and we're just showing everybody a little bit what we got. Too, it's unfortunate our couple losses, all except for three are in less than a touchdown. So, I mean, this year we could easily have a flip record with just three losses, but we are where we are, and we'll keep pressing forward.
Well, you're in the right place, and we wish you luck the rest of the way, young man. Two of the best consecutive games in the history of the NFL for a kicker. Thanks, Rob.
Thank you.
Good luck, my friend. That's Rob Baronis with the Tennessee Titans, a team that is on a roll. We'll be right back with Leonard Dawson, and we'll be joined by our very shy friend Sam Huff to talk about the Giants and talk about the rest of the NFL. You're listening to Head Games on Sports Byline and Sirius Channel 122.
Smart business people know the difference between success and failure lies in the ability to grow. Being limited by your current facility adds up to lost productivity and even worse, lost revenue. You've looked at the price to build, but have you considered the cost of not building? With interest rates still attractive, now is the time to build that warehouse, manufacturing, or retail space you need. A pre-engineered steel building from General Steel will save you up to half the cost of a similar conventionally built structure, and it'll be erected in about half the time. From airplane hangars to riding arenas, gymnasiums, and churches. Expand quickly and save money.
Call the General right now for your free estimate. 800-965-1298. 800-965-1298. And learn about our $20,000 rebate offer. 800-965-1298. 800-965-1298. 800-965-1298.
I'm Dave Meltzer, host of the Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Radio Network. And if you're a fan of pro wrestling and want to know what's happening before anybody else, you should subscribe to the Wrestling Observer Newsletter. It comes out every week and it covers wrestling all over the world. The biggest names in pro wrestling and the most knowledgeable fans all subscribe to it as the leading source of inside information anywhere. Just go to www.wrestlingobserver.com and there's information on how to get a subscription. If you go to the website right now, you can even get information on how to get a couple of free issues of your choice. So go to www.wrestlingobserver.com.
Hi, everybody. This is Nick Lowry, and I want to tell you about the most beautiful golf course I've ever played. It's called Quintero. It's already ranked in the top 10 in the country as a real estate golf course. I'm telling you, it is the most outstanding combination of beautiful fairways and views you will ever see. If you want to join one of the most outstanding new private courses in the country, go to QuinteroGolf.com or call 888-417-8468. That's 888-41-QUINT or 888-417-8468.
Do you have dry skin, cracked heels, hard calluses, or corns? Then use Cracked Heel Skin Softener from Blue Goo. Cracked Heel has lecithin, lanolin, and beeswax, plus emu oil to penetrate and soften the skin. Just massage Cracked Heel into your feet twice a day and feel the difference. Your feet will thank you. No more pain from cracked heels, hard calluses, or corns. Make your next step a comfortable one with Cracked Heel Skin Softener. Available at Walmart, Walgreens, Rite Aid, and Duane Reade.
If you're self-employed or you run a small business and you need competitive health insurance, pick up the phone and call the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company. These competitive health insurance plans are underwritten by the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company, and coverage may not be available in all states, so call now and see if you qualify. 866-503-MEGA, 866-503-MEGA. That's 866-503-MEGA.
It takes the same thing to get to the Super Bowl and win that it takes to get there and lose. You know, it's not the NBA where you got a 7-game series once you get in that in the final. You got to get it done that day.
And now back to Head Games Radio with Nick Lowry. Join the conversation now by calling 800-878-PLAY. That's 800-878-7529.
I want to thank Rob Baronis, kicker for Tennessee, and also want to thank our friend Josh Brown, who joined us a few weeks ago. What a season he's had. I just love it when the kickers show how important they are. We're also joined by a guy that probably could eat kickers along with quarterbacks for lunch, Sam Huff. How are you, bud?
Well, I'm doing good, Nick. I'm still alive, you know. And the Redskins, I don't think everybody in March were talking about them going to the Super Bowl. Well, I think they might go, but you got to give them a ticket.
Got to give them a ticket now.
Yeah, you got to give them a ticket now. Yeah, it's the only way they're going, I think.
Well, let's skip over the Redskins game and go straight to the Giants clash against Dallas. Giants played pretty well. Manning played reasonably well. Let's start first with Leonard Dawson. It looks like Eli Manning's velocity on the ball, a lot of the balls that he's throwing now, he played reasonably well, but they seem to be kind of dying at the end. Have you followed his technique, and do you think he's lacking something there?
I don't know. I haven't seen that much, but generally what happens is the legs aren't involved in the throwing. You got to get your legs involved in throwing the football, or the thing's going to take off on you, either upwards or downwards. But I just looking at his eyes to see what I see there, and I don't see a great deal of confidence. Last year he came through and pulled some games out, and you could see that, you know, he felt pretty good about himself. But you know, that's a tough place to play, as Sam knows, particularly when you're not going well, and you know, people are going to be all over your case. And generally speaking, I guess he's handled it pretty well. But the bottom line is, Mister, if you're there or anyplace else, you better win, or else you got to face the consequences.
We talked to Bill Moss last week about the only quarterback who seems to be able to throw very accurately without his feet set, and that's a guy named Tony Romo, who started off slow. And do you agree with me, Sam Huff, that when a guy starts off slow in a big game like that, yet comes back, finds a way to get it done when it matters most, that's an incredibly important sign for Tony Romo?
Well, I think what Bill Parcells did, you know, is to insert him a few weeks ago, and, you know, because his number one quarterback was just throwing interceptions and everything else, and, you know, like Lenny and I have talked, you know, that you just, I don't know how quarterbacks do it. They can't protect themselves. They got people calling plays for them. They're just, you know, just out there, and that's what's happening, and it's getting late in the season, and they're getting beat up a little bit because, I mean, these linebackers and these safeties blitzing are hitting them. And, you know, you talk about Manning, I think he is hitting the wall again. He hit the wall a few times last year, and then he just mentioned it, but I think he's going into a tail dive here, and it's going to be hard to pull him out. The Giants have had some injuries, you know, to their defensive ends and so forth, but the quarterback has to be good in New York. Wyatt Tittle was, Charlie Connolly was, and all these guys. That is the top, and Lenny knows it, and I know it. You got to win in New York.
Len Dawson, the Giants were at the goal line against Dallas twice and had to, quote, I hate to say this, but settle for field goals. If you're the man in charge of the offense for the Giants, what do you think is the most effective strategy when you're in close?
Well, I think it depends on what down it is. And Sam can tell you better than me what the defense is thinking, but I always felt if you're inside the 5-yard line, inside the 10-yard line, if you're going to throw the ball, do it on first down and do it from a play pass action, because that might hold the linebackers, it might get the safeties up there, and you might sneak somebody back there, get wide open for an easy score. But what happens most of the time is they want to run the ball in. Yeah, it'd be great if you could, but you know, you're going to have 11 people up there on near that line of scrimmage, and it's tough to run the ball in. So if play calling is important, and of course Sam mentioned it, quarterback isn't calling the plays, somebody else is calling the plays. And when you're throwing passes, quarterbacks feel better with certain patterns. You know, they feel more comfortable. It might be square in, it might be, you know, might be square out or whatever it is. They feel more comfortable throwing that particular pattern, and if somebody else is calling the plays, then that pattern may never be called. Because I talk to quarterbacks and I say, do you not go to your coach, you know, at the end of the week when you're getting ready to play, and tell them what you prefer? Some of them say yes, and an awful lot of them say no, that the coach is just, you know, he's got the game plan and you've got to adhere to whatever he calls.
I got the feeling that Eli Manning does not have the best, and this is just my own judgment, does not have the most open communication right now, but they played a better game. Bottom line is they still lost. Now let's shift to the idea of tackling. The Chiefs forgot about how to do it on the road yesterday. Here's Tom Jackson from Friday's show about the evident lack of tackling. You've got teams that are giving up 200 yards rushing every game now.
We're a tackling team because we tackled. We tackled in practice. We tackled in camp. We tackled, you know, on Thursday, Wednesday.
Were your full pads on Thursday?
I'm talking about having some full-speed tackling. We're going to do some inside the five for fun. For fun. I mean, it was fun. and a goal line drill called the head bump drill. This thing where you would dive over the, you would have a guy dive over the goal line, perceived goal line. We would have somebody go spear that guy. And it made us a great goal line team.
That's Tom Jackson. Before we let you go, I'll give you a chance to tell us more about tackling and the bread and butter of that defense, Sam Huff. What's missing today from teams' defenses that is allowing so many teams to gash them for 150, 200 yards every game?
Well, all these guys are trying to strip the ball carrier of the ball. And that's the mistake, as Tom Jackson says. You know, you got to hit people. But they've ruled out hitting with your helmet. And that's one of the things that... you're getting poor tackling now because these guys get penalized if their helmet does anything. You know, if you hit a guy with your helmet, it's helmet to helmet. They call it right away, 15-yard penalty on the defense. So they've just about ruled out the defense that you could play. And let me say this, and Lenny can hear this too. The most difficult play for a defense to stop inside the 5-yard line or even out on the field is the rollout. When the quarterback rolls out, he's got the tight end, he's got the fullback, and he's got three guys on the same side of the field. And he can throw it to any one of those three guys. Or, if he's got a good runner, like Vic, you can run it in. So that's the toughest play for a defense to stop. And most guys just stay in the pocket there, and they get drilled right now.
Well, thanks for joining us, Sam. Appreciate it, buddy. And listen, be patient with those poor old Redskins, and maybe we'll find a new quarterback in Jason Campbell for next year.
Well, he's chucking and ducking right now.
Yep.
What happened to Todd Collins? That's what I want to know.
Hey, he's drawing a paycheck. He hadn't played it down that I know of, you know, and he's the third man on the totem pole now.
He is? Okay.
He's number three.
He was number two here for a number of years. Well, never
he
played
was
here either.
He was number two till they took Campbell from number three to number one.
That's a pretty good life he's got. He'd get his handicap down to scratch because, you know, he never gets hit.
Yeah, you got that right.
Well, Sam, appreciate it, buddy. Tell Tom we said hi.
Take care. Bye.
All right, we're going to switch back to the quarterback of the moment, too, in many ways, and Vince Young and a team that, as we talk with Rob Baronis about, that has found a magic. And joining us is Howard Balzer from USA Today. Howard, how are you?
Doing well, Nick. Len, how are you doing?
Good, thank you.
Hey, can I ask Len one quick question, Nick?
Sure.
You know, the NFL Network announced today that the next in their line of Super Bowl tributes is the Chiefs team, which Len is involved in the, talking about that team back that won the year after the Jets, and they're rated number 18. But I want to know, Len, are you going to send out a release like the Raiders did complaining about the ranking? Did you see that release?
I didn't know we were in the top what? What, top 20?
Yeah.
They asked me to promo it, I guess, on Thursday or Friday,
right.
Friday coming up.
But you would love this story, guys. I mean, you know, I spoke to Steve Sable last week, and, you know, of course, NFL Films and them are all involved in this. And he said when NFL Network suggested that they rank these top 20 Super Bowl teams, he said, well, I don't want any part of that because I know people are going to come after me. So far, it's the 83 Raiders were 20, the 99 Rams 19, and the Chiefs 18. And they're just going to announce them week by week as they count down toward one. So the Raiders sent out a release last week with Tom Flores ripping the rankings that the Raiders team was only ranked number 20. I mean, here's a team that's 2-10, and they're worried about where some 53 people ranked their Super Bowl team. I just think it's comical.
Well, we'll have Tom on because Tom has been on with Len a number of times. Don't you think we should have Tom on as give him a chance to respond?
Definitely. I think that would be great. And, you know, it's a ranking. It's a vote. I mean, come on.
You know, we get in trouble when we have rankings and votes. And for a second, let's do a little crossbreeding here and talk about the BCS, what your personal opinions are about whether Michigan should be there, Len Dawson, let's start with you, or whether it should be Florida.
I have... Well, I'm a Big Ten guy. You asking me that question, I'd like to see Ohio State, Michigan. I'd like to see the rematch of that game. I'll tell you, they're two outstanding football teams, and what a game they had the first time they played.
Well, you know,
Howard Balzer, before you respond, I don't understand why they don't mention that small, insignificant fact that Michigan played at Ohio State, that the nature of the BCS is to play on a neutral field, and if Michigan's playing on a neutral field, they've got a real good shot of beating Ohio State.
And, you know, I think it just points up the fallacy of the whole system.
Yeah.
And what's ironic is they wanted to create a system that didn't have as much emphasis on the human element, and yet this was totally the human element because the two, Michigan and Florida, tied in the computer rankings, and so Florida goes because both polls had them ranked, you know, had them second ahead of Michigan, and actually there was one voter, believe it or not, guys, in the Harris poll that had Florida number one, didn't even have Ohio State number one. So when you have stuff like that going on, it points to the fallacy of it. And here's another problem. Florida gets this basically by virtue of having an extra game because their conference has a conference championship game. If they didn't have this extra game, Michigan would be going. And so it's just crazy. And maybe if there's enough of this insanity that goes on from year to year, they'll come up with a better system. But it just doesn't make sense to decide it this way.
This isn't the first one, though, has it, Howard?
No. I mean,
this isn't the first time it's happened.
It's never going to end. Listen, guys, when we come back, final segment, let's talk about Chicago and whether they can win without a quarterback. It's the condition of the young quarterback, and Rex Grossman. We'll be right back on Head Games on Sports Byline and Sirius Satellite. Stay with us.
Hey, Tanya Roberts here, and I want to know, where are you going on your next romantic getaway? Well, how about 3 days and two nights in Las Vegas? And what about you don't pay a dime for it? That's right. Act like a high roller in Vegas and pay nothing for it. It's all part of our celebration of Vegas's newest five-star resort, Tahiti Village. We want you to get out of Dodge. Stir up a little romantic magic in the most exciting city on earth with a complimentary second honeymoon, all on Tahiti Village. Come on, you know you deserve it. You know you want it. Las Vegas is calling. So stop what you're doing and call the special toll-free number, 866-50-GO-WIN. Oh, and as a bonus, if you call right now, they're going to throw in tickets to a hot show right on the strip. Can we say high roller treatment, baby? So call 866-50-GO-WIN for all the exciting details. That's 866-50-GO-WIN. Call now.
Hi, I'm Robert Wagner with an important message for homeowners 62 years or older. If you own a home, you may be able to pay off your current mortgage or access the equity in your home without making any monthly loan payments. That's right, no monthly loan payments. A U.S. government-insured reverse mortgage allows you to convert the equity in your home into cash, giving you the financial independence you deserve. The tax-free proceeds won't affect Social Security or Medicare benefits, and you can use the money for almost any purpose you desire. The Senior Lending Network program has prepared a free educational video that explains how a reverse mortgage works, how to qualify, and how you can supplement your income without any monthly loan payments. If you're a homeowner 62 years or older, your free video is waiting. So call now.
For a free educational video from the Senior Lending Network on reverse mortgages, call 800-995-4280. 800-995-4280.
Senior Lending Network is a program by Mortgage Warehouse, licensed mortgage banker, New York State Banking Department. Callers' information will be shared with lenders who are members of the program. Consult your tax advisor regarding tax implications.
This is Merlin Olson. Have you called the NASE yet? The National Association for the Self-Employed is one of your best resources to obtain access to affordable health, dental, vision, and critical illness plans. The NASC also offers other health, business, and personal benefits. If you are self-employed or own a small business, do what I did. Call the National Association for the Self-Employed. Call today to find out how the NASC can be your best resource for affordable benefits.
Call the NASC now. 800-839-4648, 800-839-4648. Big solutions for small businesses. Insurance plans are underwritten by the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company. Association membership may not be required to obtain insurance, so call right now. 800-839-4648, 800-839-4648. Not available in all states.
Welcome back to Head Games Radio. Tomorrow we're going to have, you know, it's a little bit like how it evolves at USA Today Week. We got Larry Weissman joining us with James Jones of the Phoenix Suns. Wednesday we'll have Peter Costa, CBS, one of the great analyzers of the golf swing. All of us, I'm sure, can benefit from that, and our good friend Seth Joyner. Thursday we'll have Jarrett Bell of USA Today and more, all on Head Games Radio. But guys, let's go back to the cult of the young quarterback. Here's John Clayton from Thursday's show about the difference between the AFC quarterbacks and the NFC young quarterbacks.
I mean, you can see certainly that Phillip Rivers now is developing into an elite quarterback. You know, Drew Brees goes over to the NFC and is doing a good job for the Saints, but there's not many quarterbacks right now doing the same. Eli Manning having his growing pains, Rex Grossman having his growing pains. I'm sure Tony Romo's going to do that. And what's happening is that you're seeing some of the NFC quarterbacks, particularly the young ones, start to retreat a little bit. You know, Jake Delhomme, even though he's not a young quarterback, he's kind of hit a little bit of a wall right now. So
there you have it. Let's start with Len Dawson. What about Rex Grossman? Here he is, 6-for-19, 34 yards, a 1.3 rating, 17 turnovers in just 6 games. Do you keep him playing?
That's not a good record, is it, Nick? That's not real good. Fortunately, he's got a great defense over there in a running game. But the quarterbacks have to learn one thing, and that is protect the football, whether you're fumbling or whether you're throwing interceptions. But decision-making is really, really important for a quarterback, and the better decisions you make, the better throws you're going to make. But you have to know what they're doing out there defensively, what they're trying to accomplish in shutting you down in the passing game. And I don't think he understands that just yet.
Howard.
Yeah, you know, I would concur with that. And, you know, what John said about Phillip Rivers, I mean, he's fortunate to have LaDainian Tomlinson. I mean, Len mentioned about the Bears' running game, but that's been okay at times, inconsistent at other times with Thomas Jones. And, you know, Rivers had an awful game last week against Oakland. And so we'll start finding out about these guys, obviously, in the postseason when you come up against very good defenses. And if a defense finds a way to somehow limit Tomlinson, then can Rivers make those plays? So it's tough for the young guys, though, like Len said, in that decision-making. And you kind of get back there and you figure, oh, I got to make a play. And then it leads to a mistake. I mean, we saw Jay Cutler with that, you know, just crazy throw that he had in the game last night against Seattle. And that's, you know, you can't do that and win games, especially in the postseason.
And you can't expect a young guy who's never taken a snap before, with all due respect to Mr. Anderson with Cleveland, to play that well. Leonard Dawson, final thoughts. Can Chicago go all the way with Rex Grossman at quarterback?
Not unless, in this cold weather, I don't think so. Well, cold weather hits, I don't think so.
I don't think they can go all the way. They can certainly get out of the NFC, because I don't know who else is good in the NFC. I mean, the Cowboys are playing pretty well. But, you know, what's Tony Romo going to do in the playoffs, especially if it's cold weather? That's going to be the fun of the NFC playoffs, at least, anyway.
Well, Tony Romo is my bet at this point. Thanks for joining us, Len Dawson, Howard Balzer. Appreciate it, guys.
All right. My pleasure, Nick.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for listening to Head Games Radio. Go to headgamesradio.com, headgamesradio.com, for all the highlights and all the clips. We'll see you tomorrow.